For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, January the 1st, 1995. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the final service of the camp meeting. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas is the speaker of the morning.
Now concerning spiritual bliss, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is what God witnessed to me when Glenn spoke to me. And I said, I want you to talk about spiritual gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, heathen, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Praise your Lord. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is to give unto each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the spirit of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, and to another different, to another kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. The word different there is added by the translators. But the one and same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Praise your Lord. Now let's keep your finger there and let's go over to Romans chapter 12. Go back to Romans chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 3. But I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, praise your Lord, but all the members have the same function. And so we being do not have the same function. Thank you. But so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. I think the one thing I wanted us to look out of this was that we all have a gift. We all have a gift. And we should use the gift in proportion to the faith that's giving us. Now let's go back to the gifts of the Spirit. There are spiritual gifts in chapter 12. There are diversities of different gifts, the same Spirit. Now there are 9 gifts that are listed here. Now these are, if you look at the word gift, it comes from the Greek word charisma, or charis, which is the word that's commonly defined grace. It's the word from which we get charismatic. And it means a free grace gift. It's something that's given freely. It's a free gift. Terry Prince defines grace as God's free gift to the undeserving and ill-deserving. You know, we don't really deserve grace. What we deserve is condemnation. We're really ill-deserving. But God gives us His grace. And He gives us these. And one of the hardest things that I had to learn was that I didn't deserve this. It was given to me freely by God. And I didn't deserve it. But He gave it to me anyway. And that's what a grace gift is. One's given freely to somebody who doesn't deserve it. Now let's look at the gifts. Okay. Well, he said they're different gifts, but it's the same Spirit who works on them all. Chapter 4, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to one for the profit of all. These gifts are given to you that God's Spirit may be manifested in you. When these gifts are active, then people can see a visible manifestation of God's power working in you. And you can see it too. And this is for your profit, because it builds your faith. Now the first one is in chapter 8, it's a word of wisdom. And then it's a word of knowledge.
You mean verse 8?
Verse 8, yeah. I'm sorry. And through the same Spirit. And another is, and 9 is faith. And gifts, you notice there's gifts of healing, which is positive. There are more than one gift of healings. Gifts of healings. Then there's the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretations. The revelation gifts, these gifts are divided. The revelation gifts are wisdom, knowledge, and interpretations, which is also a speaking gift. Let's see, wisdom, knowledge. All right. Then there are the power gifts, which are faith, healings, and the working of miracles. And your oral gifts are prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and the discerning of spirits is a revelation gift. Everyone, now, it says they are okay, let's go back to verse 6. They're diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. I understand that to mean that all the gifts are present in all believers. That you have all of these gifts resident in you. But you cannot activate them yourself. I have people who come up to me sometimes and say, look at me and tell me if you see any demons in me. And they say, well, and, you know, and I have to explain to them that I can, that that is a revelation gift. It doesn't have a switch in my head that I can turn on like X-ray vision and it clicks on and you can see them. I mean, it activates only under the unction or the anointing at the Spirit's will. Now, when you're ministering in accord with the Spirit of God and you're ministering to someone, He will give you words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and He will give you a discernment of the spirits, if that is your ministry. He will give you, He puts a call on your life. And Romans says, let's go back and look at that. That's in Romans 10 or 11. Let's go back to Romans 10. And it says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I know where it is in my other Bible, but that's the reason you should know time and verse. You know, when I had some friends, 11:29. Thank you. There they are. For the gifts of calling of God are without repentance. The New King James says irrevocable. Now, why would that be? Do you mean if God gives you a gift, He never takes it away? Well, you know, if You mean if you go out and you lead a sinful life, you still got the gift? Well, if he gave you a gift and it was dependent upon your actions, it wouldn't be a gift. It would be a revocable loan. If he took it away, if he gave you something and he took it away from you, it wouldn't be a gift. It would be a revocable loan. And God gives you these gifts. But the thing is, they activate only of the Holy Spirit. There was an evangelist who used to go home, and he would be dead drunk in the motel. And so they used to get him up and pour buttermilk down him and carry him down to the tent, and he could get up and preach and thing line up, and he could lay hands on people, and they could get healed, and they would get healed, and they would take him back to the motel, and he'd fall back down to the bed just dog drunk again. Mm-hmm. But that's the gifts of God. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He died an alcoholic. He died an alcoholic, had a miserable personal life. But God used him mightily. God used him mightily. The gifts of God are irrevocable. And God will give you a calling. He puts a call on everyone's life. And you're to walk in that call. And he will give you the gifts that are necessary for your life, for your ministry. If he calls you to minister, to cast out demons, he'll give you the spirit of discernment. He'll give you the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. If he calls you as a prophet, he will give you the gift of prophecy, interpretation of tongues. And there will be times that you might be standing in a meeting, and he will give you a spirit of prophecy to prophesy to that meeting. You may have never prophesied before, but if you open your mouth, the prophecy will come out, and it will serve to exhortate, give exhortation and comfort to someone in edification. The gift of prophecy is given for comfort, exhortation, and edification as the first test of a prophecy. And somebody in there will receive that. And you may have never prophesied before. I can tell you this. If you wait until you're going to prophesy perfectly the first time, you won't ever prophesy. That you will need to step out in faith. And you may not prophesy but three words. I remember once, the first time I prophesied, he gave me a word of knowledge for someone, and I prophesied it. And it was, would you be made whole? Would you be made whole? They were trying to pray for this man, and he was complaining about his problems. And I couldn't hear what he was saying, but God told me to say that to him. And I looked at him and said, would you be made whole? And it convicted him of his sin of unbelief. And he broke and he broke down, began to weep, repented, and he received his healing. Okay, so there are three groups. First, we're going to do very generally what they mean. Let's look first at the first one is a word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. I get so frustrated when I see people interpret the spiritual gifts in a carnal meaning. And they say, well, the word of wisdom means to be intelligent. And he's a very smart man. Well, God, I'm sure, gave him his high IQ and gave him his brain. But the word of wisdom is entirely supernatural, and it is a knowing what to do. It generally works in conjunction with another revelation gift called the word of knowledge. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge are two revelation gifts. They generally work together. The word of knowledge is a portion. God knows everything. And it is a portion of God's knowledge, a very small portion of God's knowledge that he gives you. And it's a supernatural piece of knowledge that you have no right to any other way than other than God gives it to you. Now, lots of people go to fortune tellers to get a word of knowledge of what's happened in the past or what's going to happen in the future. Normally, a word of knowledge is given because it brings conviction. It brings conviction. Let's look at what happened with Jesus when he had a word of knowledge. Let's look at John, first chapter of John. And we'll start at verse 44, and we'll read. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I knew you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Now here, Philip said, "How do you know me?" Jesus said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Now, Nathanael was out under this fig tree. Maybe he was praying. I don't know what he was doing, but he was there by himself. He thought it was entirely personal. But yet, when they took him to Jesus, Jesus said, "I saw you when you were under the fig tree." And what did this do? It brought instant conviction. The word of knowledge will bring instant conviction that there is supernatural power present. Now, the word of wisdom will give you the wisdom to use the word of knowledge correctly. Wisdom, the word of wisdom, will give you to know how to handle a certain situation. You'll be in a situation that you say, "Lord, what am I to do with this?" And God will quicken it to you. He will quicken an answer. And you follow through with that, and you find that the results produced are within the will of God. Sometimes a word of wisdom goes against conventional knowledge. The next is the next revelation gift is the discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. Now that is commonly called discerning between good and evil spirits. Jesus, when he saw the child, when he cast out the, you remember when he saw the Gadarene demoniac, he said, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion." But he didn't ask, let's look at, here we go, chapter 17. And here we have, Jesus has been on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's coming down with three of his... Matthew 17. There's a group standing around this boy, and his disciples have been trying to cast out this spirit, and they could not cast it out. And verse 14 said, when he came down and had come to the multitude, a man came to him, saying, kneeling down, saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls in the fire and into the water. And so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." And Jesus said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I bear with you? Bring him to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and he was cured that very same hour. Well, in Mark, let's look at Mark 9, because he called it a deaf and dumb demon in Mark. Mark 9:25. And when Jesus saw the people running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, "You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more." Now that was discerning of spirits. Jesus knew. God gave him a revelation. It was an unclean spirit. It was a deaf and dumb spirit. And he called it by name and bound it. And as I understand the difference between the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the discernment of spirits, is that you actually see a manifestation of the demon. You see something, and you know it's there. Quite often you will see the demon itself, or it's very difficult to explain. When I first received the gift of discernment of spirits, I saw demons everywhere. Yeah? And I thought I was losing my mind. But I saw demons everywhere. Now I only see them when God opens my eyes and I'm ministering to people. Sometimes I will see them in the congregation when I'm looking at the church. I'll just be watching, and suddenly I see the demonic spirits on people, and I see the demons. So those are your three revelation gifts: the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discernment of spirits. All right. Your three power gifts are the gifts of healing, gifts of healings, faith, and the working of miracles. Now, the gift of faith, I understand this a little differently from most people. Let's look at Mark 11. Okay, Mark 11:20. Now, in the morning, as they passed by the fig tree and saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." And Jesus said to him, "Have faith in God." And Derek Prince says that could be defined, "Have the faith of God." "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed, be cast in the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes these things he says will come to pass, he'll have what he says." I believe this is the gift of faith. Another example of the gift of faith, we won't turn to it, but I'll quote it, is when the prophet Elijah stood before Ahab and he said, let's look back at it. That'll be in 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17. Chapter 17, verse 1. "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years except at my word.'" Except at my word. He didn't say God's going to bring about a drought. He said, "Except at my word, there will be none." God had given him the faith to command the rains to stop. And then God told him to pray, and he prayed earnestly, and the rain came back. But he said, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years except at my word." And it did not rain for 3.5 years. God's word says that, as I understand the gift of faith, when God calls you to speak in the gift of faith, and Isaiah says that my word will not return to me void, but will accomplish that which I sent it forth to do. And when God gives you, and you know, I'll tell you, if you know that you are speaking for God in faith, you know it'll come to pass. You don't doubt it. You don't doubt it. But if you are not speaking, you will doubt it in your heart. If you are not speaking it in the faith of God, the faith that the supernatural faith that God has given you to know that this supernatural thing will come to pass. Now, the division between it and prophecy is it's narrow. There's a dividing line between it and prophecy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The working of miracles. Jesus said in John, the apostles came to him and said, "There's a man out there casting out demons. He's not with us, and we told him to stop. He's not one of our group." And Jesus said, "No one can do a miracle in my name and be against me." Jesus classified the casting out of demons as miracles. And when you stand and you call out the demon and you bind him, again, you're working in faith. And I can tell you, if you don't have faith and don't believe, it's not going to happen. And the last one is the gifts of healings. This is probably the most this is the one that gets the greatest press. And it's the one that you see so much of, and you see so much abuse of. I've seen so much abuse of the gifts of healing. Catherine Kuhlman used to have meetings with 10 or 15,000 people. She would never minister to more than 15,000 because she said a healing service was always a service that required she wanted to be able to see people's faces. And if she got more, she got in a place larger than that, it became impossible to see people's faces. And it was a personal ministry that you had to do personally, that you couldn't do they used to try to get her to preach in Yankee Stadium to 250,000 people, and she wouldn't do it. She said she never would preach in a building held more than 15 or 20,000 people, according to Jamie Buckingham's book. But she would sometimes have 1,000 miracles. And she wouldn't accept a miracle healing unless she had a statement from the family doctor saying it had occurred, that the disease had existed before the meeting, and a statement from 2 specialists verifying it was gone after the meeting. And she used to stand on the stage and weep when they took people out in wheelchairs because they didn't get healed. They'd have to carry her off the stage, and she'd sit there and weep at the people who didn't get healed, and she would cry out and say, "Jesus, I want to have a service like you had where everybody got healed. Everybody got healed." She wanted to have the service like Jesus had where everybody got healed. And she used to say that the first question she was going to ask Jesus when she got to heaven was why he didn't heal everybody. Why somebody gets prayed for and somebody gets healed. And so, you know, God healed me. I had recurrent asthma. I stayed on cortisone. I had recurrent pneumonia, and I stayed sick. My nose stayed stopped up, so I couldn't breathe, and my face was all cushionoid from the amount of cortisone I stayed on all the time. And I had pneumonia 2 or 3 times a year, and I had been prayed for by a number of people. And I went to a Catholic Charismatic Renewal at Dallas, Texas, and I was in Denton Stadium, and Francis McNutt got up. And he said, "How many of y'all got allergies?" And I held up my hand. "Got allergies." And he said, "Stand up. God wants to heal you." And he prayed a very simple prayer. I don't even remember what he said, but it took less than 2 minutes. And God touched me. There were a lot of people, and I'm sure there are a lot of folks there much better than I was. But God, in His sovereign grace, reached down and touched me. And He healed me. He healed me, and I knew I was healed. I didn't have any spiritual electricity go through me. I just knew I was healed. I knew He touched me. Just knew. And He said, "Now don't throw your medicine away or do anything foolish. If you think you've been healed, go check with your doctor and have him take you off, but don't do anything foolish." I knew I'd been healed. I went down and threw all mine in a trash can. It should have killed me. I was been on cortisone for months. It should have killed me to stop taking it. Went home and looked at my face in the mirror, and all the swelling had gone. Scared my poor wife to death. She was terrified. I told her, "I'm worth more dead than alive. Why are you worrying?" I had $1 million worth of life insurance. I said, why are you worrying? I'm worth more dead than alive." She didn't think that was very funny. I've got 3 small children to raise. And I went to my internist. And I told him that I'd been healed. He was an atheist. And he refused to believe. He just brushed me off. About a year later, he came into the office. Came over and sat down. He came in my office, and he sat down in my office. And I said, "Well, what can I do for you?" And I called his name. And he said, "I need to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you privately. When you're through seeing all your patients and your help's all gone, I'd like to see you." I said, "Okay, I'll be through in a few minutes." So we got through, and all my help left, and I said, "What's wrong? What can I do for you? What's wrong?" He said, "I want to know how I have offended you." "You hadn't offended me." He said, no. I said, why are you mad? I'm not mad at you. He said, where are you getting your medicine? What doctor are you going to? You treating yourself? I said, Neil, I told you, God healed me. I'm not taking any medication. And he looked at me. I said, well, if you don't want to tell me, that's all right. And he got up and left. Refused to believe. He still refuses to believe. He still refuses to believe. But God healed me. And that's been 20. That was in 1974, 20 years ago. It was in October of 1974. It's been 20 years ago. And God has healed me, and I've been healed ever since. Sometimes I have to rebuke it a little bit because the devil tries to bring it back, but I won't take it. I said, that's not mine. That's not mine. I refuse to accept delivery. It's returned to sender. I don't need that package. When the enemy comes and knocks on your door and tries to give you your disease back, stamp it returned to sender. Say, go away. That's not mine. That's not mine. I refuse to accept it. Thank you, Lord. And stand. And having done all else, stand. Praying continually in the Spirit. That word stand is a, you know what that word is? That is a military term. It was the hardest command that a Roman centurion could give a soldier. It means you stand right here. You don't back up. And I'm going to come back in 2 hours. Either you're going to be standing here or you're going to be dead on this spot. But you don't back up. That's what it means. Stand. Having done all else, and you stand and stand against the enemy. You don't back up. You don't give him any ground. And you take the sword of the Spirit. And you know what the sword of the Spirit is? The what? What kind of word? It is the spoken word. You look it up, it is rhema. It is not logos. It is rhema. It is the spoken word of God. You can't take this book and beat the devil over the head with it. You have to bring it out of your mouth. The word is rhema, the spoken word of God. A lot of folks think they can take this book and put the head on it, you know, and it sort of comes through by osmosis, and they can take this book and beat the devil with it or something, but you've got to speak it. It is a spoken word of God. Putting it up on the wall is nice. I mean, you know, I have calligraphy in my house, but I read them out loud to the devil. I read them out loud to him. I have a CD player in my house. I have the Bible on CD, and I have it on repeat. And it goes through 6 discs, and it starts back over at the first one again. And it goes over and over and over and never stops. I read the Word of God to the devil day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in my home. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Healings. Jesus, there are a number of words in the Bible. I did a study on healings in the Bible, on the number on Jesus' healings. I went through, I read all 4 Gospels, and I went through and I looked at every healing recorded and every word for healing. And I found there were a number of different words. The most common word used for healing in the Bible is therapeutai. Therapeutai is from the word from which we get our modern word therapeutics. And it means to heal by nursing back to health. It's not an immediate healing. And that was the most common word that Jesus used. There's also a word used called being made. It said in him, it's commonly translated to be made whole. But the word is solo. It's the same word that's also translated salvation. Healing is part of your salvation. And it's always in the continuing perfect tense. Salvation is a continuing process by which you are made perfect. It's not a one-time event. It's a continuing process. And being healed is part of the salvation process. And you claim your healing as part of your salvation. And you claim your healing by the stripes of Jesus. And then there's a word for an immediate healing, which is a word for miracles or signs and wonders. Now, the only upgrade I ever found in the Bible was a centurion's servant. When they came to Jesus, he said, "I will come and therapeutize him." And then the centurion himself came and he said to Jesus, "You don't need to come into my house. Just say the word and it'll be done to my servant." And he said, "Such great faith." And he said, "Your servant has been made whole." And he upgraded it to a miracle. And he used the word for miracle or immediate healing. And so, when you get prayed for and you don't feel it immediately, you need to stand for it. You need to stand for it. And claim it in the name of Jesus. And the last are the spoken gifts. And these are probably the most abused gifts. The first is prophecy. Praise Lord God, the oral gifts of prophecy. Tongues and interpretations. And I could talk for about 2 hours about tongues, but I believe that there are several different types of tongues. And I would have to have my notes to be able to show you which word is which in the Bible. I don't remember it that well because I haven't studied it now in almost a year. But tongues, when you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you receive a prayer language in tongues. You receive your prayer language. If you give a tongue in church, in a meeting, it is not necessarily in your prayer language. It may be an entirely different language. And if you give sometimes you will give a different tongues. And that is a different tongue and it's a different gift. It's a different tongue and it's a different gift. Paul said that you are not supposed to use your prayer language in church as a message or to preach in. Now you can use it to praise God in. You can use it to pray in the Spirit in. Well, there's a time to come for edification, to build up your faith. There's a time to come to raise tongues as praise to God. But the tongues given as a message is generally a different tongue. And you should not give a tongue unless there's an interpreter present. But I always believe that God won't give you a tongue unless there's an interpreter present. Unless there's someone there to interpret. The problem sometimes comes when the interpreter won't step forward. He's gotten a little shy, but God is faithful. God is faithful. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I talked to you today about spiritual gifts because that's what God told me to talk to you about. I could talk another 2 hours, but I think it's time to stop. Because if I go down another road, I'll be here for another hour, and I don't want to be here that long. But I could talk an hour about each one of these gifts. And go through and show you the examples how Jesus used them in the Bible, because I think Jesus is our example. He was the perfect prophet. He was the perfect apostle. He was the perfect prophet. He was the perfect evangelist. He was the perfect pastor. And he was the perfect teacher. And Jesus used all these gifts in his ministry, every one of them. And they're examples of each one of them in the New Testament. And they are the examples I think we should follow. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Is anybody here who'd like the laying on of hands for impartation of gifts? If you'll come up, Brother Glenn, we'll anoint you and lay hands on you that God will impart the gifts to you. Paul said that he wished to come to see the Roman church that I might impart some spiritual gift to you, that we should be edified.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.